first, I'm interested to see what big tech's role is. Last year, Amazon and Google had a huge presence, and my question is, will it continue? What will they bring to the table? What will they be talking about? Interested to see how big tech plays.
Welcome to the Redox Podcast. I'm your host, Nico Skivaski, co-founder and president of Redox, where we are on a mission to make healthcare data useful, and in turn, enable the frictionless adoption of technology in healthcare. The Redox Podcast explores the intersection between healthcare and technology. How is tech making a difference? What are the barriers to adoption, and how are they being overcome? We talk to some of our industry's brightest minds, up-and-coming technologists, and health tech legends that have paved the way for what's to come. One thing is certain, healthcare will change dramatically over the coming years. My hope is that you'll leave these conversations with a bit more context, along with a jolt of optimism to continue working for a better healthcare. With that in mind, I welcome you to the Redox Podcast. In just a couple weeks, Orlando will open its doors to the biggest health IT show on the planet, HIMSS20 Global Health Conference. They're expecting 45,000 of our closest friends in the industry, from vendors, clinicians, health system executives, policymakers, patient advocates. We'll all converge to learn about and share ideas and spark innovation around healthcare technology, hopefully enjoy some of that Florida sunshine as well. The conference offers keynotes, 350 plus education sessions, literally miles of booths, and 1,300 vendors. To say the least, it is overwhelming, but there is hope. With me today, I have three HIMSS veterans and current or former HIMSS social media ambassadors who will help us figure out how to navigate the immensity that is HIMSS20. First off, Ligia Ricciardi, the Chief Transformation Officer at Carium. We also have Colin Hung, the Chief Marketing Officer and Editor at HealthcareScene.com, and John Lin, founder of HealthcareScene.com, a blogger and entrepreneur. All of these people have been at the vanguard of digital health and consumer engagement for more than 15 years. They each have incredibly impressive backgrounds, which I'll include more of in the show notes. But I want to get us started here with a quick question for each of you. Well, first off, thanks for joining us. And second of all, let's do a quick question here. So I'm going to ask a two-part question as an icebreaker. First off, how many years have you been to HIMSS? And then second of all, what is your favorite HIMSS memory? Ligia, why don't you start us off with that one?
I'd have to go back and actually check, but I'm going to say I've probably been to HIMSS probably 8 or 9 times. So a lot. In terms of memories, you know, I've had so many good memories of HIMSS. I've had a ton of fun there, learned a lot, met a lot of great friends. But one that comes to mind, I don't know whether this is my favorite or not, but one year we had HIMSS in New Orleans, and it was pretty much after Hurricane Katrina. So the city was in a really bad way. And all of a sudden we kind of like ran out of fresh water. So you had to like buy bottled water. But in addition, a really crazy thing was just getting around the city was incredibly hard. So I remember having to do a presentation and taking a bus that got stuck in a traffic jam, switching to another bus, and then like rushing into this big arena and like running down, practically like dropping my shoes like Cinderella on the way and just getting in on stage. And the moderator was like already talking, and she's like, and there's Ligia. And I was like, sorry. So that was pretty crazy. Not maybe my favorite, but a memorable experience of HIMSS.
That's amazing. I think that was my first HIMSS. I'm not sure how many years that's been either, but I wish we still went back there. Colin, why don't you give us, how many years have you been going, and what's your favorite HIMSS memory?
Oh, wow. So I've been going to HIMSS for a while too. I think this will be my 12th HIMSS that I've gone to. Most of that was as a vendor, because I used to be on the vendor side, which is a completely different experience than being on the media or just an attendee. So my first memory is probably my fondest memory. I'd never been to the conference before, didn't really know what to expect. People had told me that there were tens of thousands of people that go, and I really didn't understand that. And then you show up in that giant exhibit hall and just realizing, like, oh my gosh, there are so many players in health IT. And at the time, I really didn't know much about it. So I thought we were just sort of this unique player. It turns out we weren't that unique. So it was just really eye-opening, just seeing all the booths and all the money being spent at the time on the booths and this giant exhibit hall. And anyway, that to me was my most fond memory, is just walking in the exhibit hall for the first time and realizing there are so many peers here, and it's actually pretty fun.
Just health IT culture shock.
Yeah, no, it was. And you know, back then there was that giant McKesson booth that was 3 levels, and you know, all, it was just IBM had the crazy booth. It was just crazy how much money was being spent, because it was just right before all of the meaningful use stuff started. So it was nuts.
Nice. John, round us out here.
Yeah, so Colin just beat me. I'm at 11 years, so 11 hymns straight. I haven't missed one for 11 years. We'll see if we can keep that going. But man, there's so many good memories. And you know, I almost said anything Jonathan Bush said, and anytime I got to interview him, because he's always amazing. And I also thought about the time I found out who Extormity was, which if you've never seen the Extormity story, it was this faux, basically onion-like EHR vendor that made fun of the industry. It was amazing. And the person behind it like told me who they were at HIMSS. But anyway, my favorite one though, probably, you know, because there's so many to choose, is probably the first one. We had a Meet the Bloggers panel because blogging was so new. And this was 11 years ago at the first one in Atlanta. We had a couple Meet the Bloggers panels. And then we also did the New Media Meetup where I finally got to meet someone else who I'd been reading all this time, and they got to meet me. I mean, our panel was Bolte Boy, Matthew Holt, and it was John Moore from Chillmark, and it was Anthony Guerra, who now runs his own health system CIO. So it was kind of the beginning of that whole blogger movement. And it was the first time I'd really gotten out of my bedroom, honestly, and was able to meet people. So it was kind of this crazy experience. And it was the beginning of Twitter. And we see where that is today with all the social media ambassadors and all the reach that social media has. So that was just an incredible experience to really be part of that community.
Nice. Yeah, that reminds me. My first few years going to HIMSS was with Epic. And so that was a very different experience for me, because the Epic culture, you know, as a lot of people know and talk about, is kind of insular, in that I would spend my entire time at HIMSS in the booth on the squishy carpet talking to Epic customers. And then I'd go out to dinner with some of my colleagues, and then I'd go to sleep. And then my first year going with Redox after I left Epic, I realized that there are parties, there are social events. And for a lot of people, that's actually what HIMSS is about, is what happens after the trade show floor closes. And so I had a similar sort of shock experience of, you know, going to his Talkapalooza for the first time and seeing, you know, old white men dance on the dance floor. And I was like, where am I? And what was the HIMSS that I knew from before? That brings us to, you know, we have HIMSS coming up. I'm very excited for it. I would love to hear from each of you. What are your top 2-3 things that you're looking forward to this year that you're kind of looking out for? John, you were just talking. Why don't you start us off?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, just briefly, the 3 things I'm looking for. First, I'm interested to see what big tech's role is. Last year, Amazon and Google had a huge presence. And my question is, will it continue? What will they bring to the table? What will they be talking about? Interested to see how big tech plays. The second one is ambient clinical voice technology. I think it's going to be all the rage at this HIMSS. And I think we're finally going to have some progress in that area. And that's everything from Alexa to the ambient clinical voice in the exam room documenting the visit for the doctor. I think that's transformative technology. I think it won't quite be mature until next year, but we'll hear a lot about it and see the demos this year. And then I guess the third one is I think that some government regulation is going to drop. I'm hoping it's information blocking. I'm hoping we have that rule, and I think that's going to dominate the conversation if, and let me predict when, it drops.
I've been saying it's going to drop any day now for probably 6 months. So now that we're getting close to HIMSS, I feel like it would make a lot of sense for them to drop it on Monday and just become the talk of the conference. Those were great things to look out for. I want to roll back and talk about a few of them. But Lygia, why don't you give us your top ones?
Sure. So one thing I'm always interested in gauging is the patient and consumer set of topics and voice. And as I've been to HIMSS's over the years, I've seen that change really radically. I have a friend, Leslie Kelly Hall, probably a number of you, maybe all of you know her, who's been to even more HIMSS's, I think, than any of us. But she said way back in the days, you would even talk about the patient perspective, and it was something you had to sort of huddle and whisper about in hallways because it really wasn't accepted by the mainstream. And health IT was about doctors and for doctors. And we've seen a major change in that there's a lot more acceptance that consumers, patients are part of their care team, part of their health in a broader way. And yet, sort of moving beyond that, I'm curious to see like, okay, we've got that point made. What can we do with that? Like, what is it that the consumer community especially is going to be most excited about pushing for once we go beyond knocking on the door of, hey, can I have access to my data, or can I be a part of my care and health plan? You know, how's that going to play out? So I'm always interested in watching and supporting and being a part of that evolution. I'm also curious to see what's going on around discussions with artificial intelligence. It's certainly one of those buzzwords, but there's a lot of variety in how people define it and what they think of it as. Some people think of it as this very futuristic thing. Others are kind of like, well, come on, we're already using it in so many ways. It's just computers assisting us in sort of doing things that making decisions that typically humans made. It's not that big a deal. So that's another area that I'm continue to watch and see how that discussion is evolving and how people are really using it in daily life to provide care.
Colin, tell us what you're excited about.
Veering a little bit, I am definitely looking forward to all the meetups and the get-togethers and the parties and just being able to catch up with people. This is like the one time in the year where you get everyone, you know, in the same room that you maybe email with or tweet with or interact with on social media. So just having that opportunity is something I always look forward to. So whether it's a photo or whether it's something at someone's booth, just listening to some panels at people's booths. That's some of the things that I love the most about HIMSS itself is just getting the chance to meet everybody that I interact with. But in terms of topics, just the two areas that I'm most interested in, I'm interested to see whether or not we continue to see an increase in the number of hybrid device and tech products that are entering onto the HIMSS show floor. Like sort of the big tech that's sort of come to HIMSS, starting to see a lot more of the Fitbit-like devices and people, you know, marrying device with software. And now that is showing up at HIMSS. And so it's not just pure software plays. So I'm curious to see whether that's going to continue this year as a trend. And I'm always fascinated by some of these devices that they've come up with because they're getting just much more sophisticated. And increasingly, they're relying on the use of a smartphone as the base unit. So I'm interested in that. And then also I'm interested in sort of the robotics side, which is, you know, kind of a combination of the AI and some other things. But we certainly see some of those robots and micro sensors and things like that come onto the HIMSS show floor. So I'm looking forward to those kinds of areas. And of course, the areas that were mentioned before around, you know, the legislation that might be dropping and AI. As the marketer, I'm going to be putting on my marketing hat and see how many people have used AI as pixie dust again this year on their booths. And we'll see how the proliferation of that is.
Yeah. So a few of us have mentioned the regulations that we hope, we predict will drop by HIMSS. The past few weeks, we've seen a lot of controversy around them, right? We've seen Epic in a big way put themselves out there trying to really bring up the privacy concerns around what an open data landscape might bring and have been met with a lot of pushback from the industry. I have a feeling like that's going to be a lot of the discussion on panels and in keynotes throughout the week. What are you guys' take on that? Do you think that they've actually effectively pushed it back and maybe we're not even going to see the final regulations right now? How are you guys thinking about that? And anyone can jump in and weigh in on that.
I'm going to jump in having come from ONC. I don't have any special magic eight ball, but I have noticed that there has been a pattern of significant, rules being released around him. So I wouldn't be surprised. I hope that when those rules are released, they will stand pretty strong on giving patients access to their own data and enabling data to flow through APIs, stopping information blocking. That's, you know, my perspective. I worked at ONC on trying to empower patients. And I certainly understand that there are a lot of privacy concerns appropriately with the current health landscape. I don't think that HIPAA is adequate to address the full set of concerns that exist in a world that is evolving quickly and includes many more entities than those that are covered by HIPAA. Nevertheless, I don't think that's any reason to stop getting information out to patients and letting information flow within the system. I think we need to do that and at the same time strengthen privacy protections, ideally through new privacy legislation that's comprehensive than HIPAA. But I think that it's absolutely in the best interests of patients and providers to let the data flow, although it may not be perceived to be in the best interest of many EHR providers. I think it's more of a business concern for them than anything else, really. And so I really hope that ONC and CMS stand strong in what the draft regulations seemed to be proposing, which was a lot more access to data and, again, strengthening the position of patients in particular in that regard.
Yeah, and it seems like a lot of the chatter that we hear back from HHS and ONC and CMS have all sounded like they're going to hold strong. So we'll see what the final rule looks like when it comes back out. All three of you on the call have written about getting data directly to patients. And John, I believe you wrote that you have skin in the game on this topic. What do you think it's going to take to get every stakeholder in the industry on board with the idea that patients accessing their data is a good thing?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not sure there's any sort of magic elixir that's going to really solve it. I think the legislation will push things forward and it will open up new opportunities. Unfortunately, I think the only thing that's going to help is some time. That's probably what it's going to take, because it is a complex issue. It's interesting, Epic's response to this, I think they bungled it from a PR perspective and the way they approached it. But I think their concerns are legitimate as far as what could happen to the data. They took it too far. They presented it poorly, all sorts of things. But as far as making sure it's protected, making sure that patients are informed about what's needed to be done, and all of those things are real concerns that need to be addressed. So, I just don't think there's any sort of magic elixir. And I've become more and more of the view that the idea of having some perfect longitudinal health record for a patient is just a pipe dream that I don't know if I'll even see in my lifetime. And so we should move that from that discussion, which I think is not possible, and move to more of a discussion of what is possible. And that's point-to-point interoperability. That's accessibility of data, letting the patient be the HIE of one if that's what they want to do, letting applications be able to access the data. Those are achievable things and would provide a ton of value, but I think it gets confused when people try to go too far and say, but I want a full longitudinal health record that's available to any application at the right time, at the right place, and not when I don't want it to. I don't know if that's possible. So let's enable what is possible rather than confusing the issue with some sort of a grand dream that really will never happen.
I think there's an elixir. I think that one of the best ways to get patient data moving to patients and other places is not only through this role, but through really pushing forward value-based care. Because if all of a sudden folks are responsible economically for improving health outcomes, you really can't improve health outcomes unless you engage patients, because patients and their daily lives have such a great impact on their overall health. So that would move the needle in terms of making healthcare providers want to share data. It might not change the perspective of EHR providers, because if they open up their data such that others are able to kind of take their role, they wouldn't have so much of an incentive to share data, but it would change the incentives from the perspective of healthcare providers, which would be a serious chunk of the incentives, underlying incentives problem, which is, I think, the biggest challenge.
Colin, did you want to weigh in on that?
I think it's a question for me of, what problem would I rather have? Would I rather be in a world where data is flowing relatively freely, but there's potentially some privacy issues and some security issues? Or do I want to be in a world where no data is flowing anywhere and it's maybe quote unquote a little bit more secure, right? Like, and I think that to me is where we've lost the conversation, is because, well, the status quo is not great. I mean, the data we have now is not really secure anyway, and it's not being shared. I'd rather be in a world where, well, maybe marginally it's a little less secure, but at least it's flowing, or there's reason to make it flow, or there's legislation against preventing it from flowing. So I look at it as, look, it's a step forward. There are some problems with it. It is not perfect, but I'd rather take that step forward. And then maybe we can dial it back a little bit because we realize, oh yeah, we should probably put some privacy things in here. We need to revamp these aspects of HIPAA or come up with these clauses. I just think that there are legitimately some concerns about the potential legislation. But overall, it is where we need to go. It'll push the industry. It'll be one more item to push the industry into sharing that information and making it a little bit more accessible for everyone, not just clinicians, but also, of course, for patients.
So another big topic that John brought up is big tech moving into healthcare. And it's quite related here in that a lot of the big tech companies and independent software vendors that are out there have pushed back against kind of Epic's stance on privacy and really saying that we need the data to be open so that we can utilize it and we can make use of it to drive efficiency and new progress in the healthcare system. If we take it from the other side, a lot of people are concerned about big tech moving into the industry because, like Google's Nightingale project that sparked a lot of controversy around Google having a lot of personally identifiable health information. Do you think that we're going to have a lot of conversation around big tech and how they're using the data, and should they be involved, and you know what their plans are? I'm pretty excited about a lot of the things I'm seeing from big tech, but there is that kind of looming concern that I think might actually slow down that progress. John, you brought up being excited about big tech. What are your thoughts on kind of some of the conversation that we'll probably see around that at this year's HIMSS?
Yeah, I mean, we have both ends of the spectrum. We have, you know, Brave Bosom and Health Blog, our friend David Harlow and Fred Trotter, who filed the case against Facebook because of the lack of privacy for these patient communities. So, you know, I think that's actually driven the conversation more than even the Ascension things. You know, I think that that's more of a concern, and that lack of responsibility and lack of work in that regard is more concerning and hopefully will be more of the discussion than the Ascension stuff, which I think for Google, and Colin and I did a whole podcast on this, so you could go check it out. But I think that's largely going to be a blip in the radar for what was happening. I think what was interesting about that situation was that it exposed what was happening across a lot of other companies. And Google was just a more prominent name. And so that came to light. And most of us in the healthcare industry were like, yeah, this has been happening. You don't know that that's happening. But I think it was enlightening for a lot of people. So, you know, it'll be an interesting discussion for sure. But I'm not too concerned about it from that perspective. I prefer to err on the side of, I think that it's the data is going to be shared. And I want the innovations that these big tech companies can provide. Sure, should we hold them accountable? Should we be thoughtful in how we do it? Absolutely. But I'd rather err on the side of the innovations that they can provide than to not do it because of the privacy concerns.
Right. Like I think this is where I get very excited, right? And I know people will get concerned about this, and maybe it's a generational thing. Maybe it's just people who are in tech or not. And that does sound like a horrible stereotype, but bear with me for a minute. Why, if I had a condition and I'm on Amazon and I'm buying stuff and Amazon has access to my medical record, why would I not want it to recommend me foods or products that are in line with my condition that it knows based on empirical evidence, based on study that, hey, you know what? Like, I'm going to recommend these 5 fruits and vegetables to you because, you know, you're shopping at Whole Foods anyways. Why not buy these ones? Like, to me, that's sort of like, okay, why wouldn't I want that? Now, some people could say, well, you know, should they have that access and whatever? Like, well, apparently people don't have really any issues like recommending TV shows to you. What's the difference? Right? Like, so I look at it as this data should be shared. When it's shared in the right way and it's bringing value to the end user or bringing health to the individual, I think it's a good thing. I think there's a lot of bumps and things that are going to happen along the road to getting there, but I'm encouraged by the fact that we're going to be able to merge traditionally siloed health data and now all this consumer data and all this other data that these big tech companies have on us to really bring us something that's going to help us stay out of the healthcare system. That's where I get excited about all this stuff.
Nice. Spoken like a digital native. Lygia, go for it.
I share the excitement of both Colin and John about this, in part because I think that big tech companies, many of them, have a lot of skill at creating consumer interfaces that are compelling and engaging. But very big picture, the world has changed. A number of years ago, your health information was just what was in your health record, whether it was in a manila folder or then eventually moved over to the EHR. But now we not only have an appreciation that so many other factors outside of the healthcare system impact your health, but we have ways through sensors like Fitbits, but gazillions of other kinds of sensors as well, built into clothing, cameras on buildings. There are sensors that detect the weather and the pollen and how it impacts your health, all these things that are giving us readings that may be relevant to our health. So the relative importance in day-to-day management of our health, of that EHR data, it still matters, but there's this deluge now of new types of data too. And so A, that information that was traditionally just held tight in the health record is already out being used in a variety of ways. And B, all this other information about us, some of which can be used for diagnostics, is already out there anyway. So the whole question of health and healthcare has expanded to a bigger set of players, a bigger set of data, a bigger set of issues. When you think about the fact that even in, say, an airport, you can be screened for, you know, whether or not you have a fever just by walking through a doorway that has temperature sensors on it. There are things like that, diagnostic tools that can look at how you use your cell phone or you're writing your email and maybe get a sense of whether you're depressed or even suicidal or understand other things that might indicate a particular diagnosis. It's just so much bigger than the world we were looking at a few years ago, and we have to alter our policy and expectations to fit that new reality.
I love it.
Nico, I would add to Lygia's point that we need to change the conversation. It shouldn't be about prevention because the data is going to be there, but instead should be about transparency. If we have that conversation, it will be a good one.
I love taking these sorts of conversations that we can get really deep and down to ethics and data morality pretty quickly here. One of the things I'm super excited about at HIMSS is walking around and seeing the way that different vendors will be talking about their parts in this and what parts they play in creating this future of healthcare that we know should exist with liquid data, with liberated data, as well as the different talks and keynotes and people who will all be bringing up these sorts of issues as we all look forward to the future of healthcare technology. As I mentioned in the intro, HIMSS can be extremely overwhelming for people, even if they've been there before. As a kind of final question to wrap us up here, I would love to hear advice that you would give to someone. Let's say it's their first time going to HIMSS. How would you help them navigate what they're about to see, from the trade show floor to all the social events to the sessions and the keynotes? What are the tips and tricks you have as veterans of the space?
I think there's the traditional stuff that everyone talks about, you know, wear comfortable shoes, bring some water. And those just sort of make sense if you're going to any sort of large conference. But my advice to someone who's going to HIMSS for the first time and how to get the most value from it is really to open yourself up and be vulnerable, as John would say, to say, hey, look, I don't know a lot about this topic. Can you tell me a little bit about it? Who should I talk to? Is there a session I should go and listen to? Is there a book I should read? And you'll find that people at HIMSS are just so helpful. And then that's how you'll make friends and you'll start the relationships. And that's really what HIMSS is about. It's, yes, it is a place where you can learn about the latest tech. And yes, it's a place you can learn about the latest legislation. But really what it's about is making and forging those relationships that will take you to the next 10, 12 HIMSS that you go to, so that you always have this peer group that you can rely on for good information. So to me, it's just, you know, being vulnerable and being, you know, open to asking those questions and forging relationships with people. That would be my number one piece of advice.
Love it. John, what about you?
Yeah, so I'd go a little bit along with Colin, but just simply say have fun. You know, it is a conference, it is work, but find what you're passionate about and find peers that are passionate about it and just enjoy yourselves. And that's what I think is great about HIMSS is it's all there. And so whatever you're passionate about, you can find it. So find it and just have a good time connecting with people, learning and growing.
Awesome. Lygia, why don't you round us out? What advice do you have for the HIMSS newbie?
Yeah, I agree with both of those pieces of advice. And I would add on to that, don't let yourself get frozen or overwhelmed by a sense of FOMO, because you cannot do it all. So even though you might sit down and look at all these sessions and plan out every minute, it's not going to happen. So pick a few things that are really critical that you don't want to miss. And from there, as Colin was saying, kind of go with it, be open to new experiences, and don't kick yourself for all the things that you didn't get to, as long as at any given moment, you're exploring, learning, connecting with people. That's really at the heart of it.
I love that. That common thread that all three of you mentioned is connecting, making relationships, being with people. I find it so interesting that, you know, HIMSS is such a huge event, but when you go, it feels small. You know, the industry is not all that big and it seems like everyone knows each other. So once you start getting to know a few people, those threads can pull you into all sorts of other relationships. And that's one of the things I really love about this industry and, you know, our ability to work with each other, especially as we connect at these conferences. So thank you all so much for spending time with us talking through the upcoming conference. I can't wait to see you all there. If we want to just do a quick run through of if someone wants to reach out to you and get in touch to make friends with you, tell us how we can contact you. Colin, go for it.
Yeah, probably the easiest way is on Twitter, and my handle is at Colin, C-O-L-I-N, underscore H-U-N-G. If you tweet at me there or DM me, that's probably the best way to find me.
Awesome. John, where can we find you?
Yeah, so Twitter's great, of course. I'm at Tech Guy on Twitter, so I got in early and got the at Tech Guy handle. You can also check us out at healthcareittoday.com. We're publishing all our content. We have a whole list of meetups, so check out healthcareittoday.com.
Nice. And Lygia?
Similarly, let's leverage social media. I'm at Lygia, L-Y-G-E-I-A. And you can meet me and my colleagues from Carium. We're all going to be there. And we actually have, if you look at my handle, you can sign up to meet with us in advance if you would like.
Awesome. Thanks, y'all, for hanging out with us today. And we'll see you at HIMSS.
Thank you. I can't wait to see you all in person.
Thanks for having us. It's been fun.
Hey, everyone. Nico here again. Huge thanks to Lygia, John, and Colin for sharing their vast HIMSS experience with us. Super helpful priming for what we're all about to get into next week at the conference. If you'll be there, come by our booth 6443 and don't miss the Redox party on Monday night so you can snag a taco and a Marga Redox. Details all at redoxengine.com/HIMSS20. We're going to continue with our HIMSS preview takeover this week with another episode tomorrow. Have you ever seen those pink socks with mustaches at HIMSS or other health tech events? Tomorrow, I have the distinct pleasure of diving in with the creators of the Pink Sox movement on the next episode. Nick Atkins and Andrew Richards join us to tell us how they brought the culture of giving into the health tech community and how this movement really turned into a nonprofit that's making waves around the world. You won't want to miss the episode, so subscribe to the podcast. And while you're in there, feel free to leave us a review. Thank you for listening to the Redox Podcast, and we'll see you next time.